Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 108. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting beside me, still in Stunt Granny Studios, Northwest Columbus, Ken Phillips. What's going on, sir?
Hey, you know, I guess we got a little ahead of ourselves last time, Kevin, when we said that that was our last day recording at the Stunt Granny North. We're back. Just kidding, people.
I thought that things may be a little too chaotic. That is not the case.
Yeah.
This will come out probably the week of moving. But, I still might have some time, depending upon how moving goes, to record next week.
Yes.
Anywho.
Yeah, so there's been some, movements afoot here. In OPA, the OPA world, I guess. The OPA-verse, whatever you want to say.
The OPA-verse. The Stunt Granny-verse.
Yes.
Man, yeah. I just like that somehow we've ascended to that level. I just feel grateful. Thank you, fans, for bringing us up to the level that we can call ourselves the universe.
Right. It was, I believe the OPA Republic is where we started.
The OPA Republic.
And, had to work our way up all the way from the Republic to the universe. It's pretty big a deal, I think. We should be really take a moment and, acknowledge that.
Yeah, recognize the fans, thank them for helping us upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I'm a fan of watching videos on the internet, Kevin. I don't know about you.
Well, I've got to admit, the whole, and I know that South Park broached the subject, and I did not realize that it was a thing. Watching videos online of people doing stuff. It was one of those things that had not really struck me really as something to do other than practical purposes. I would say occasionally at work when I'm stuck on a CAD problem, I might punch that into YouTube to figure some stuff out, or I know I've done some house repairs. Yes. In that department, I have not thought to myself, I really just need to sit down and watch some other person play video games. That is one of those things that I have not thought of. I would have to say that as far as the YouTube goes, I maybe go educational, but mostly straight entertainment in which some type of a show is produced.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I can remember watching other people play video games and actually not, minding it. I think mostly in terms of like the old RPG video games, like your Final Fantasies or your Dragon Warriors. For some reason, I feel like I can remember like watching my brother or somebody else, or like maybe taking turns playing like Legend of Zelda or something. I think I could understand the appeal of people watching someone play video games. I'm not sure I would have been able to predict the wild popularity of the format.
And maybe that's part of it for me, realizing that there are people with millions of followers for this type of shenanigans. 'Cause I could have just imagined us playing, let's say a Ninja Gaiden, or even, I think we referenced it the other week, Super Mario 3.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the heyday when I played a lot of video games, I think I was of sufficient quality that I could have probably YouTubed myself if that were a thing.
Yeah, or you could, sometimes people do even Twitch on video games too.
Yeah, Twitch.
That's if you want to sound pretty hip with the kids,
Well, and I forgot there's a Tommy Dreamer actually isn't a gamer at all, but his wrestling organization is broadcast on Twitch.
That's interesting. Because I went to a Magic tournament here in town in Columbus a few months back. Well, I guess in the wintertime. And they had people there that were doing a broadcast on Twitch, you know.
Oh.
So it was interesting to see these guys sitting at their table with their, like, you know, suits on, presumably giving commentary on Magic and what was going on that day. So that was kind of interesting to see. Oh, and there was, like, a special table area where they had, like, little cameras set up and people were actually playing their games. And you could, like, see each person's side, you know.
So, oh, well, that'd be pretty fun to be able to see what, what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting. And I've seen at a local pinball place, they've had set up, I think, for events, like a little camera that will be, like, just on the pinball game and be able to, like, stream that, I think, probably.
Okay.
Their tournaments and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I knew that it was definitely a really big thing when, I believe it was the Columbus Blue Jackets, the NHL team here in town, that they introduced their eSports heroes in some NHL challenge game earlier this year.
Hmm.
And I was just like, come again? You know, there are tournaments for different video games, and the league was sponsoring these particular people. Like, they were going to nationals for, like, best NHL, and I'm gonna go with my favorite NHL game, NHL 94. You know, they were the best players at it.
So wait, these were, like, people who were specifically competing with a hockey-based video game, would you think?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, I guess. I mean, yeah.
I guess one thing that I'm kind of hinting at is just, it's something that I'm not that into, but evidently it is very, you know, a very large community of, like, online gamers that do these types of things.
And some people can make good money at it.
Yeah.
And I have actually heard of colleges offering scholarships for esports. So.
Oh my lord.
It's kind of interesting times, I guess.
Yeah. Again, it's we were born a little too early for Ken, we laid the foundation for the esports universe.
I guess so. I guess you could say
by our incessant gameplay. Yeah.
You wouldn't be wrong to say we're the fathers of esports, Kevin.
Go with I'm thinking baseball parallel. We're more like Babe Ruth.
Okay.
Maybe there was no integrated play at that time.
Right. I think I was thinking more of like a Honest Wagner.
You're really making sure integrated play wasn't happening.
That's right.
And he is a pirate, so I do think that that's probably a better one to go with
for historical comparison. Yeah, and I think it's plenty accurate because our baseball cards are pretty rare too. So
yes,
that checks out. But we weren't even talking about baseball cards, were we, Kevin?
No, and we were talking kind of in general terms about the gaming community without even really talking about the video that has spawned this conversation.
That got us all started talking here in the first place, yes. So this is a video that premiered on Adult Swim by the creator of the Too Many Cooks video, which also appeared on Adult Swim.
Yeah, and it appeared, I believe it was a while ago.
I want to say it was 4 years ago that Too Many Cooks
showed up.
So this has been, and I did read a further article about this, and it said, I believe that it took 2 years to produce this video called Final Deployment 4.
Yeah, and well, yeah, the comedians Casper Kelly and Nick Gibbons are the gentlemen who came up with both videos.
Yes,
and yeah, Too Many Cooks. If you have not seen it, we will obviously attach a link to watch that one. It, you know, it's the foundation, because I do feel like the second video had some similar, similar tropes to it. It's definitely a similar way of thinking, in my opinion, about how to make the. Make this this type of video, because in Too Many Cooks, it was they told a story, but through opening credits for various TV show types,
yeah,
and they kind of made fun of all the different stereotypes of different, of different shows.
Well, also kind of carrying on a main storyline of a sort, or some kind of events that are. Progressing as we're watching it.
Right.
Without giving too much away, I guess. And, yeah, I would say both videos are pretty dark and maybe not necessarily safe for work, so...
yeah, there is no nudity, but the one thing... Adult Swim has those short 15-minute shows... So the Too Many Cooks video is 11 minutes. And this Final Deployment 4 originally was supposed to be 11 minutes. But it ended up taking up a full half-hour slot.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it really... there are parts in Too Many Cooks where I felt like things got... they got into a lull a little bit.
Yeah.
But with this one, everything really kept on moving well. Like, to me, this was a better video. Even if some of the things or ideas and how to put the video together are similar, they really, A, there was like a complete story, I guess I would say.
Yeah, that's true. It's more of like an overall idea that's more kind of clearly expressed, I'd say, than... in Too Many Cooks, which it's at times, yeah, there was a couple times in Too Many Cooks after watching it again that I would say didn't hold up as well. Like some of the parts where they're just kind of like repetitive or being bad for bad's sake, I guess, as kind of, you know.
Oh, yeah, swearing just for swearing's sake. Oh. Like when we used to...
I just meant like...
No, they didn't swear, but right. I'm just saying that...
I meant like bad, like filmmaking techniques or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Just to be like, kind of, look how bad this is, ha ha ha. I feel like there was a couple or two times too many for that, so...
Oh, gotcha.
That's one thing I noticed about the Too Many Cooks video, even though it still was definitely still weird.
And entertaining.
Entertaining, 4 years later. So good on them on this these fast paced times. They made a video that is still worth checking out 4 years after it originally came out. So that's pretty good on them, I guess. But then you're right. I think Final Deployment 4. It seems like to me maybe it's gotten a little bit less buzz, but it's probably a better video, like you said.
I think it's a little bit, well, A, I know that I personally do not watch Adult Swim as much as I used to, even 4 years ago. Because I want to say that I saw it on Adult Swim, when it first aired.
Too Many Cooks?
Too Many Cooks, okay. Yeah. Because when you referenced it, I looked at you like you had a third head. But then I was just like, as soon as you started the video, I'm like, oh shit, I know exactly what is going on here.
You got it wiped out of your mind. some other stuff must have happened in between then. Kind of took the place of that for whatever reason. But yeah.
The Men in Black came and erased my memory in the meantime.
It for sure was something that was not front of mind for me. I believe I was still following this Casper Kelly on Twitter after Too Many Cooks the first time around I did. So
oh, gotcha.
I was still aware of him. But then it was kind of strange. Not I was expecting maybe to hear more about you know, other videos that have kind of come, and I really haven't, so I don't know if that's on me or...
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's really done. I was not checking. I was not familiar with their names until reading this article.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I thought that I would maybe have heard about more videos, but it seems like this video did take a long time to put together. And they probably had, you know, I'm guessing, budget constraints.
Yeah, it did not seem like a big budget kind of thing.
Yeah, and so they might also not have been able to, like, spend a whole ton of time at once on it, or maybe had to, like, kind of fit it in.
Oh, when they could.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Well, they certainly talked about them having other jobs.
Yes.
So, yeah this did not seem like the single devotion in their life, for sure.
Yeah. But I would say it did come together really well. And it was, like, one of the few, like, things that I've seen that I really didn't know, like, where things were going to go as I was watching the video.
There is a fair amount of intrigue in this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like you said, like, they kind of went meta. And they kind of go meta with too many cooks, too. So yes, there's...
That's a common theme through both videos, I would say. Yeah.
So you kind of are left in the dark a little bit on who the highest power is within these video games. Well, and that's how the video starts out without giving terribly too much away. And this is why we were talking about the gamers and the YouTubes and the Twitches.
Yeah, we probably should mention that too, yeah. The basis of this.
Yeah, so the basis of this is, you know, a gentleman talking about the game Final Deployment 4 and running you through how to play it.
Yeah, so doing like a walkthrough video, a play footage video of this fictional video game, Final Deployment 4, which I guess in itself took a lot of time to kind of render those scenes for an imaginary video game.
Yeah, because it certainly seemed like a very, and I'm probably showing my age, although I know that it's been remade somewhat recently, I think, like a Doom type game. Like, it reminded me of it reminded me of that, and it also reminded me of Ender.
Okay, because the bug aliens enemies.
Because the bug alien enemies, that made me think of...
I think there's a game called Gears of War that might be similar kind of a feel to it.
Oh.
Or even maybe, I don't know, Halo or, you know.
It's been again, done before. I'm showing my out-of-touchness with actual video games by citing these things.
Right.
Books and various other things, and not actual video games that it's probably based off of.
And to be fair, the video game in the video did not exactly look like God of War or anything. But it still had to have taken a decent amount of time to put together, like, the different cutscenes and stuff that they did for that.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of crazy that they created a game for a video. And there was at least some fairly extensive work that they had to do. Because, again, it's a 21-minute video, and there is probably gameplay in it for all but maybe about 3 minutes in the middle there when he takes the little break in playing the game. Then they had to render some other completely different game stuff.
Right. There's a lot of different special effects, and in general, just kind of like sensory overload, I would say, is a...
That is another theme that they go with, is too many cooks kind of implies it in its name.
Yes.
There's just always a lot going on in their videos, it would seem.
Yeah, I don't know if you have, like, ADHD or something, this could be a challenging video to watch. From a distractions level, just like the amount of like talking over each other that's going on at different times, and because there's many people that are doing these video walkthroughs basically concurrently, so it's worth checking out.
It was certainly one of the more entertaining things. It's one of those things that every now and again, I guess I follow Adult Swim on Twitter and I see stuff and I'm just like, oh, that looks really entertaining, but then I forget to check to see what's on Adult Swim and I'm like, what?
Yeah, so this is one where
I'm not going to be hip to video games because of watching Adult Swim, but I do feel like I could catch some additional lofts with some comedy on that station still.
Yeah, I think so. And luckily this video is available via YouTube, so you don't even necessarily need to watch it on Adult Swim at this point. So that lowers that barrier to entry, I'd say.
Yeah, that makes things pretty easy. I have started picking up my YouTube watching recently. It is still for more put-together packaged videos rather than any type of gameplay type situations.
You're not watching Gears of War playthroughs, clearly.
I have not signed up for my Twitch account quite yet. To show off my Genghis Khan skills.
Oh my god. That would be amazing if we had, like, because we would have to have, like, multiple tapes just to get one game, because we played for, like, hours. That was ridiculous.
It would be as long as the Goku and Frieza fight. It'd be, like, 2 weeks worth of material that you'd have to sit there and watch.
Yeah, and maybe even less
action
packed than the Goku Frieza fight. Yeah.
Hard to believe. It kind of makes it what are the videos where people like to
reaction videos?
MSRA,
ASRM, or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly
I believe it's ASRM.
Okay. Yeah, where they just have something being done in a very soothing voice.
Don't talk like this.
Yeah, they talk.
All right, yeah, that was a free little snippet there.
I'm touching your toes.
Yeah, there's something vaguely creepy about... I guess vaguely creepy about the ASRM voice. It's just does imply like somebody sneaking up behind you and whispering in your ear. But, you know, if you're into that sort of thing, I guess it's all right.
Yeah, people, there are, again, probably millions of people tuned into some of those channels on YouTube that I find weird and creepy.
Yeah.
But hey, there are a lot of weird and creepy people, and I am weird and creepy in different ways, Ken.
That's true. I didn't mean to cast judgment on anyone. It's just different strokes for different folks, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, speaking of weird and creepy.
Oh, yeah.
I think we could move along to one Mr. Johnny Depp.
And, yeah, more specifically, a interview that he took part in for a long form of journalism in a recent issue of Rolling Stone, which I think it's fair to say is a disaster of an interview for him. Would you say, Kevin, is that going too far?
No, I don't think that's going too far. because I guess the article was kind of interesting because it almost, the way it read, it almost became a Hunter S. Thompson type article.
Wow, talk about being meta.
Yeah, this article is kind of a little meta to me. Johnny Depp is largely influenced by this Mr. Thompson,
right?
Which helps account for part of it.
So for it's like a mirror reflecting a reflection. Yes.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Mm-hmm. And just due to the fact that because I'm trying to think of, Stephen Roderick.
Wait, sorry to interrupt, but a mere reflecting reflection would be, like, non-reversed, wouldn't it? Like, since a mirror reverses, things left to right?
Yeah, I would think that it would be correct then, yes.
That's the way to do it. All right, sorry.
Well, the gentleman, what was his name again? Stephen Roderick, that wrote this. When you start saying things of the like that you were up at 3 in the morning most of the time to do these interviews, like they started at night and you went through the night into the morning.
Yes.
To do these interviews for 3 straight days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're leading off with this information, that's got to be disorienting for some people. Having to adjust to a night schedule while it's I'm sure something that I could do. It's certainly discombobulating when you first start doing it.
Yeah, I'd presume that this is not what the journal, what this writer is normally doing in terms of, but who knows? Sometimes, you know, writers can be eccentric too, I guess. But the normal thing is to wake up during the day, Kevin, and do your work then, and then sleep at night.
Yeah, yeah. There are other things. I'm sure the journalists maybe do not usually have a 9-to-5 type thing going on, but I would also think that it doesn't usually start at 9 p.m. to go to 7 a.m. or so.
Yeah, this sounds like a pretty wild job to have, I guess. Like, I'm not sure if you would ever expect to have to do, go to some estate in London, was it? Or near London?
Yeah, and I guess that was one of the interesting things about the article, is that Johnny Depp, or representatives of him, were the ones to get a hold of Rolling Stone to request this interview.
Exactly.
So, like, they weren't seeking him out. He sought them out.
Exactly. And the expressed purpose was to get his side of the story out about this lawsuit that he has with his former management company, who he says screwed him out of, like, interest payments and other, you know, monies for different things.
Yeah, there was quite a laundry list of things that he says he was made unawares of.
Yeah, and I'm no expert, but it does seem like there could potentially be problems both ways. With, you know, it definitely sounds like Johnny Depp was not keeping track of his finances in any way.
Well, yeah, there are a number of things to account for with Mr. Depp. He did not seem to care that much about his finances one way or the other.
Yeah,
I do not think that helped matters at all. But the other thing that did not seem to help at all was the fact that, much like Hunter S. Thompson, he seems to be almost perpetually in some state of inebriation, whether from drugs or alcohol. Yeah, there was a lot of that stuff involved in all of these stories, it would seem.
Yeah.
Whether it was about the money or about a movie or about a friend, it all seemed to revolve around alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
And even this article, like, I guess it'd be weird.
Speaking of drugs, I'm not sure that drugs
are legal in England.
I don't think so.
Pot's not legal in England, is it?
I don't believe so. And also, because there is reference to him smoking hashish, which is made from marijuana.
Yes.
In this article. And also, in one of the lawsuits that he is facing from his former bodyguards, I believe, they, in the lawsuit, mention that they have had at times to have to point out to him that he has illegal substances on his face or person that are visible. just to be like, kind of, hey, you might want to wipe that.
Wipe that off before you go on camera.
Or out in public.
Or out in public.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would seem like that's a little bit of a, that you have a little bit of a problem.
And there also is, which I thought was pretty well done in terms of saying, without outright coming out and saying it, that he was doing drugs, but to say that he disappeared and came back more energized. seemed like that was kind of a way of telling that he's probably
doing other illicit drugs.
Yes, that
were not mentioned by name in this article.
Yeah, that's my takeaway from that little turn of phrase there. But yeah, like I said, there's plenty of trashing of basically Johnny Depp coming off as a, I don't know, it's hard because I feel like he was like such a cool figure back in the 90s at least.
I would even say, because I believe that they mentioned, and I'm not really surprised by this, the Jack Sparrow of Pirates of the Caribbean fame is what really landed him the huge, huge money. And right. I want to say that, was that 2004?
That sounds about right to me.
That hit. And, that was certainly one thing in this article that hit me. It wasn't something that I'd thought about, but he's been on TV or in the movies for 35 years at this point. And, we're getting old, which we've discussed numerous times. B, the fact that we have been witness for all of that 35 years. Because we were talking about it. He busted on the scene of 21 Jump Street. Neither of us were big fans, but I do feel like that was more of a show for the ladies between Johnny Depp and Richard Grieco in the cast.
Yes, there was a couple of heartthrobs, I believe. And that,
but wasn't Holly Robinson Pete on that one? Well, she wasn't Pete back then. But
I don't know. I'm not really. All I remember is Johnny Depp was in there on 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
But then you said Richard Grieco, and I did recall that he was also in there.
And I don't know why, but I did. I do not feel like I watched many Fox shows early on. Like, outside of The Simpsons?
There was a certain, uneasiness with Fox. They were kind of like the new kids in the broadcast television back there in the 90s. So you weren't quite, they were a little disrespectful.
Yeah. And I definitely think that my parents would not have been on board for the married with children type humor.
Yeah, that was definitely... on the edge of things there. I was going to say Roseanne, but I think that was that ABC?
Yeah, I believe that was ABC.
Back then too? Yeah, so that was pretty edgy. And The Simpsons were really edgy, if you can believe it, once upon a time. They were considered quite edgy.
Right.
Moms clutching their pearls across America. But, back then, of course, during the said pearl-clutching days, Johnny Depp was maybe one of the coolest actors around. And like you said, he didn't really make a ton of money back then, I feel like. He ended up kind of taking more arty kind of movies.
Yeah, because he certainly had an interesting list of movies. And they did bring up the one that, again, not one that I've really seen because it did not seem like it was my bag. But there was Edward Scissorhands.
You never saw Edward Scissorhands?
Correct.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's... I get it. I like that movie a lot, but...
When it came out, it did not interest me, and it's one of those things where I'm pretty terrible at looking back.
Yeah, sometimes you just miss a movie or two.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting just because the wife likes a lot of old 50s and 60s type movies. So we even went to go see what was deemed a photo play down at the Ohio Theater recently.
Photo play, huh?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of who was in that. Oh,
So this was like a slideshow?
it was no, it was a play. That was turned into a movie. It was Jimmy Stewart, and I'm trying to think of what her name is. I can pull it up here in a second on it, the instance.
It was a play that was recorded? Or are you
Yeah, it
saying?
was. There is a play by the name of that the movie adapted from.
Gotcha. Well,
Oh, Shop Around the Corner. And you could tell just from the way they filmed everything that it was meant for the theater to start with, because there was only like three or four locations. Almost everything, everything honestly really took place in the shop.
That was down
Like,
on the corner.
that was on the corner. Like,
Okay.
a solid 75% of it took place in one place.
Yeah, that is kind of neat that somehow plays are able to pull that off, and because you obviously can keep costs way down if you're not changing sets a lot, so
Oh.
that is pretty good if you can pull that off. Smart move.
Yeah, so I'm terrible at going back to look at old stuff, and I just kind of devour the new information. Is usually more my bag. So yeah, like going back to watch Edward Scissorhands is not something that I would really think about. Or even like I know that one kind of launched his him Johnny Depp being connected to Tim Burton in multiple movies,
Right.
because I did love A Nightmare Before Christmas, which was another Johnny Depp vehicle.
Did he do the voice of in that one?
Yeah, he was one of the voices in that one.
Huh. Why did I forget about that? But yeah, that was the I've enjoyed, like I said, the Edward Scissorhands. He was also trying to think what
Oh.
else he did that was good, because I feel like before Pirates of the Caribbean, and even the first Pirates of the Caribbean, I think was fine, but for some reason,
Oh, those last few, I know that I haven't seen them.
yeah.
It got a little weird, I guess, at that point. The first couple, I was on board for. I think the third one, I know I watched it in the theater, but I think I kind of tapped out after that one.
Yeah. But this article, going through it, it was a little bit tough to take. I really kind of felt bad for Johnny Depp at different parts. But at the same time, you can't feel too bad. I mean, he basically has done this to himself, which I guess is the tragedy of it all.
Yeah, and it certainly was left unsaid because of a non-disclosure agreement. Anything that may or may not have happened to his most recent ex-wife, who was not found in the best of shape,
Oh, well, yeah, there was.
Amber Heard.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that was something that the reporter was not allowed to ask about. And I to go back to the article being Hunter S. Thompson-y, like it seemed like they went back to the same information over and over again. Like it almost seemed like the journalist was deciphering stuff for Johnny Depp.
Yes, like
You
the
know.
journal, the author of this article understood Johnny Depp better than Johnny Depp did, is kind of the takeaway I had.
Yeah, he definitely understood the financial peril
Oh, right.
better than Johnny Depp did. I would say.
No, he seemed to be really willfully clueless about his finances, but unwilling to slow down his spending. or...
And that's where you go... any of those stories, because I know that, like, Nicolas Cage kind of has some similar stories. They were talking about him having 5 different homes.
Weren't these guys friends, though? I swear, wasn't that part of this article that they...
The writer and...
No, that Johnny Depp and Nicolas Cage were friends, like, when they were getting started.
Oh, yeah. They kind of started out together.
That's interesting. Okay. But, yeah. So, apparently, they both had similar issues with spending and taxes and whatnot.
Well, yeah. And that's one of those things where you kind of feel... the stuff that he actually bought... you know, you're just like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, again, like, 5 houses is so unnecessary.
This story did remind me a little bit of the kid who got the infinite overdraft bank account.
Well, and there's that, too.
It's like he's just spending money like it's limitless.
Yeah, because I know that the number was around there. I want to say it was $300+ million that he's earned over his career.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that is kind of a limitless amount of money. And somehow he needed to borrow money at a number of different turns.
Yeah. Even after making millions of dollars, he would need to... borrow money to and then kind of like really try to work to scrape together work in order to keep the money rolling in, it seems like. And I was going to try to look up the exact quote about how much his budget was that he spent on wine. But I feel like it was in the, on the high end of the $10,000 area per month.
Oh, you
spend on wine.
Yeah, I want to say 20.
Yeah, so that is,
if memory serves,
a crazy amount.
And then, yeah, when some of these numbers did get mentioned to him, he's just like, "No, I didn't spend that much. I spent even more than that." And it's just like, you know, it's that gif where you're just, that it's the guy just blinking at you.
Yes, you can't see it now, people, but I will stipulate that Kevin is making the blinking gif face right now. And he's doing a fine job of it.
Like, if you're trying to say that your management company is the one that screwed you out of money, don't say that you were the one that spent more money.
Don't brag about how much money you wasted while you're trying to say that your management company was wasting your money. Yes.
Yeah, it really seems like a bad plan.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah, and it does seem like he doesn't have a... It's basically, as they spelled out early in the article, I think, it's like him and his current lawyer are sort of scrabbling over the scraps of a wasted fortune, basically.
Yeah, like, I guess I don't know what the outcome is. And they're trying to get back paid money, and it seems like his sister is the key to solving the riddle here, because she has, been a manager of his for a long time, even though it's some junk. Oh, when he married Amber Heard, they stopped talking in 2015, or... something in that area.
Yeah, I think you were good to bring that up, because I had meant to mention that about him getting married to Amber Heard and the kind of allegations of you know, violent behavior there. So that's obviously not cool.
No, not in the least. And again, that was a subject that was not really broached in this one. It was brought up to basically just say that he wasn't allowed to ask about it.
Right. but there was reason to think that there's something to her allegations, I think.
Yeah, and it doesn't help when, again, he certainly seems to have problems with drugs and alcohol. And I'm just going to say that most, pretty much 100% of people that have imbibed too much of one or either of those do not make good decisions.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially because it did seem like there was at least one time where they said he signed a contract while exaggeratedly looking the other way, as if he literally did not want to know anything about what he was signing. I think that might have been one of the loans. So, yeah, that's, you know, not a good recipe for
making informed
decisions. Yes. financial success, if you will.
Yeah, and it's always crazy how many of these people that, again, it seems like they have a limitless amount of dollars and they don't have any money. Or just the fact that it's another one of those things that, you know, I had to scrape and claw to borrow $20,000, but this idiot is borrowing millions of dollars at a time.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you can see to the rich, how the rich can get richer. And I guess you do, if you work at it, though, you can find yourself poor, though, Kevin. That's, I guess, the silver lining there. We know that the super rich can screw themselves if they try hard enough.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things, too, where it reminds me of the 30 for 30 documentary is called Broke. About all the athletes that don't have any money. And this is just kind of another one of those stories where, because obviously he's kind of mega rich, but he didn't really start out anywhere big.
No, it sounded like he actually grew up kind of poor almost, with it sounded like out in the backcountry of Kentucky, kind of.
Right. So, or at least that's where, I believe he was born somewhere else, and then they moved to Kentucky, which is where he grew up mostly.
Yeah.
From what the article said. And his dad was not around much, and his mom did not sound like the most pleasant person on the planet.
No. So, yeah, he probably is dealing with some demons, as they say. But, yeah, I mean, it really just seems like he is, the only person he was hanging out with that whole time was his lawyer, the one who arranged this interview. So, I don't think
And that was the other crazy thing is that he still has a lawyer around 24/7. He had a couple of bodyguards around 24/7.
I believe it's like a 50,000 square foot, property that he's staying at.
Yeah, I saw the house, and it just looks obnoxious.
And, you could probably stay at a, hotel or smaller house.
Stay at one of the, especially
if you're having money problems. I mean,
and that was kind of one of the other hilarious things is that he didn't want to sell the one house when he was told he needed to because his daughter objected to it.
Right, it was like on some private island somewhere, I think. His daughter didn't want him to sell, so he didn't sell, and ended up. Yeah.
Again, that is not really a good way to make financial decisions. I'm not saying. Because evidently that place was her childhood home, and that's why she wanted to keep it. There's certainly sentimental value. But at some point, you need to make the hard decisions, and that hard decision should have been made.
Yeah, I mean, my parents sold my childhood home, but I turned out just fine, Kevin. I think so.
Yeah.
Although that could be the root of all my problems, now that I think about it.
Yeah, you didn't get a piece of that pie when they sold the house?
Well, yeah, like...
you wanted to wet your beak in that cheddar.
I wasn't thinking of anything so crass, Kevin. I just meant the sense of stability that I was deprived of by having my house sold out from under me. Yes, so...
Yeah, and you had to move a whole three blocks away.
That's right.
It was really hard to adjust to the same neighborhood, just in a different location.
Yeah, it really didn't change that much, I guess.
In less traffic.
In less traffic, yeah. So, it wasn't that bad, actually, now that I think about it. So, I think that, yeah, Johnny Depp's daughter probably would have been okay.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the other thing, to go back, and we didn't really talk about his sister much.
Yeah, that was weird, because she was, like, his manager. But it sounds like they are having like a falling out, but she's still like on the payroll.
Yeah, and they said that in this law, because that's the other kind of crazy thing, is that he's suing his former company, but they're counter suing him for basically the same thing. Which, again, is just kind of weird when there's two competing lawsuits. I mean, it's really a he said situation.
Right. I also did see recently that Johnny Depp was fighting to try to get this court decision delayed further for some reason. They speculated maybe it was to interfere with an upcoming movie release that's going to be coming out. Because I think there's that he's going to be in an upcoming Harry Potter spinoff. That Fantastic Beasts.
Part 2. I did not, because they did talk to J.K. Rowling about it, which was kind of interesting, just because of her point of view most of the time. But she said that because of the NDA, basically the non-disclosure agreement, that they let things slide. As far as him,
she didn't object to him being in the movie.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It is, I could see people having their questions about that because of his history with Amber Heard.
Right. And it just seems like kind of a crazy thing. Like, to me, if anything like that gets signed, it's always a I'm guilty situation in my book. Whether it be, but I mean, that is kind of a, not always the best way to look at things, because people can just be doing it because it is honestly less of a hassle.
Yeah. Although I think there was footage of him like throwing something.
And I believe that there are pictures of her injuries.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that does it. That one definitely leads to guilt, in my opinion. But that's another thing that really does not help you garner any sympathy for him. Again, like, borrowing the crazy amounts of cash when I couldn't borrow even close to that level of cash is beyond annoying.
Yeah.
You know, if I tried to bounce out an extra 10 grand, it would be tough. This guy's getting millions of dollars. It does help that you can say, oh, they're going to cover it.
Right.
But it really doesn't help, like, oh, and you were saying, like, kind of the sympathetic card. If his taxes weren't being paid, that is certainly something that falls on the financial agency that is working with you. I would not think that if I had an accountant full-time, I would be expecting him to be the one to file my taxes.
Yeah, I would think so.
But I don't think that one's beyond the pale. But again, that's kind of almost a spit in the bucket to all of his problems.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't have the money to pay the taxes could have been the issue.
That was their argument, is that he was... But it seems a little suspicious that he had cash flow problems for 13 consecutive years.
Yeah.
Right at the time that you needed to pay taxes. And but they somehow mysteriously still got paid anyway.
There was money flowing in. It seems like maybe too much money flowing out upon further review.
That is definitely the case, that there is too much money going out.
Yeah, it's just a shame to think about all that money wasted, but I guess... You know, somebody got paid, so...
Yeah, somebody enjoyed it. Someone was rolling in some Johnny Depp cash, whether it's the realtors who sold him any of the five houses, or the yacht or the private plane.
His drug dealers.
His drug dealers, I'm sure, are pretty happy about it. Tito's Vodka is probably happy about it, I would imagine.
I agree. So there are some winners in this story. I guess it's not all bad news, Kevin.
No, it is not all bad news, Ken.
Well, glad we could help our listeners find the silver lining once again this week.
In a millionaire screwing up his finances.
Yes, exactly.
Well, speaking of screwing up your finances, Ken, a way the common man does it quite frequently, gambling.
Yeah, that some people do have problems with gambling, spending too much money. Recently, there's been some changes in terms of what's looking like it's going to be legal.
In this country. PAW, definitely of the OPAW fame, Pennsylvania just made gambling legal on sports.
Yeah.
One of, I believe it's now 13 states that have legal gambling on sports.
Yeah.
Although they had, but that was Pennsylvania approving it is one of the reasons why this article was written. Just because there are more places that will legally allow you to do that in the country. Most sports books were, and this is one thing that's crazy to me. I guess I don't know anyone personally that has a gambling problem. So it's kind of crazy about how people possibly created offshore accounts just so they could supply their gambling habit.
Oh, yeah. I'd say the most that I know about gambling is from listening to the various Bill Simmons podcasts at different times. I know that they'll discuss gambling and proposition betting with Cousin Sal. But apparently there's more than just betting like on who's going to win and lose a game, Kevin, these days. This is what I'm finding out. There's like actual betting on like what's happening quarter by quarter or possibly even play by play, what people are going to do next.
Yeah, and this article really, the main thrust of it was to talk about the game data involved. And how I believe it's already legal over in England because they were using the English Premier League as something of a jumping off point in this article.
Well, I don't know if that was what they were talking about at the beginning of the article with the because they talk about seeing people with these earpieces in.
Yeah, during soccer season.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely what they were talking about.
But they did say something about them getting evicted. They're quickly ejected once they're discovered.
There are people, and this is what's kind of strange to me. There are people that are going into the stadium just to feed these bookies information on the game.
Because it looks like what happens is the official feed of, you know, the play-by-play, say, from the NFL, there's like a 5 second or 7 second delay between when the events happen and when it's actually broadcast. Because I guess for swearing and stuff, maybe.
There is always a little bit of a delay for unforeseen circumstances. In case someone, let's say,
takes a knee or something, and they don't want to have people's heads explode, so they have to cut away, and then, you know, they have the 5 second delay there. They don't have to air any of that. But that could potentially cause a an information imbalance when somebody knows the result of a play before the official results are in. They could potentially use that information, Kevin, to make some money in gambling, even if it's only a few seconds.
Well,
that is the premise of this article, I would say.
And I guess I did not think about it that way. And maybe because I was at least partially confused by the article, and I felt like it repeated itself several times.
Yeah, I don't think it was a well-written article, but yeah. As a concept, it is kind of interesting to think about.
Yeah, because I was just thinking, now that you brought up the delay, I'm like, oh, okay. But still, even if you're using a walkie-talkie, there's going to be delay. Like, you can't beat the play.
I don't know.
Like, even if you're like, oh, there's the corner kick coming up. Like, you can't call the goal before the goal happens. Like, it's something's still got to happen. And there's still going to be a delay from your mic to whomever you're talking about. It might not be as big as a TV gap, but...
But let's say if someone scores a goal in a soccer match, and you're able to quickly make a bet on them, you know, winning. I don't know if you can still bet on them winning the game while the game's going on. And there's like, I'm imagining that you could do that and they're adjusting the odds, you know, as the game is progressing. And if you're able to get that bet in there before they adjust their odds to include that goal, I don't know. There could be a potential there to make some money, I would say.
Man,
it's a little weird to think about.
Yeah,
because of like the amount of different kinds of bets that you must be able to make at this point.
Yeah, and I guess because this article went around data, I guess I was thinking more along the lines of why don't they just watch it and record the stats? But the whole, you know, 5-second delay or whatever exactly it is thing does kind of throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into things as far as its usefulness for betting.
Because I believe right now they're only allowing them to use the betting systems, or at least that's the idea, is that they're only going to be allowed to use the official NFL
or whatever
of the game.
Yeah, whatever the sport agency is overseeing it, they can only use the official data. And these people are collecting unofficial data. And I guess, again, that's kind of what I was going off of, because I know plenty of people, like the Football Outsiders, you know, they're not at games recording all these stats. They take them, I guess, from official stat places and plug them into their own formula to come up with their percentages and odds.
Right.
So I guess I don't understand why some of these people just aren't watching the games to avoid being prosecuted like they are in the stadiums. Why they don't... And again, I guess that goes back to the 5 seconds thing. Maybe that helps you bet better, knowing something just that far in advance.
Yeah, I guess if you could, you know, have it set up correctly, it sounds like they're having people with apps or something to keep track of the different plays and kind of
but
in real time keep a database updated, which then maybe would have, like, you know, somebody's there sitting looking at a dashboard that is showing, like, if there's a value to make a bet somewhere based on something that just happened but hasn't been reflected yet in the official
stats.
I mean, it would take a certain amount of sophistication, but I feel like there would be a way to do it. And I probably just spelled it out here. So if anyone actually is able to make sense of what I said and make it work, I'll expect a royalty check.
Well, and that's something that the article did bring up, which is something that could be wrong, too, to me in a lot of ways. They were treating the official game data as the be-all, end-all. But people can really score things differently. Like, and I guess I'm thinking about baseball, where you have an official scorer, but there are times where I'm just like, nah, that didn't really just happen. Like, there are times where I agree with or disagree with their interpretation of a play.
Like an error, for example?
Yeah, errors are certainly one where it's just like, no, that, you know, it was or was not one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something that I do understand that the data could be different. And
you could probably bet on, you know... over and under on errors or something like that, would you say? would that be something people can bet on these days? I don't know. But then if someone like commits an error, you could get in there and hurry up and get that value.
Well, and I guess that's one of those things to me, like which points of data are really going to make you a lot of money?
Yeah.
You know, like that example that you just used. If you can bet on that, sure, I guess you can make some money on it. But how many people are betting on that? To me, and I get maybe that was why I was thinking more in the total game data realm rather than kind of like these short situations that you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, you know, carrying statistics over from game to game to help you refine your betting. Rather than worrying about one particular moment.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking more along the lines of like getting that information quickly before it's publicly available and then kind of betting on that information in that small window that you have.
Yeah, but I guess I do go back to my point is that even the official scores aren't necessarily going to get it right.
That's true.
So that's why to me, I guess I'm okay with someone doing secondary scoring.
And you throw an instant replay and forget about it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I guess now that you bring it up, like the only way that this is more or you should be kicking people out is if they're doing like instant bet type things that again is just circumventing that marginal delay of TV.
Mm-hmm. I just remember them always saying that at the beginning of like every NFL broadcast, they would have some, you know, no descriptions or accounts of this game are, you know, are all prohibited or whatever.
Yeah.
And this would seem to fall under that, but it always seemed weird, but I guess this could be a reason why they don't want somebody to give accounts or descriptions of the game. It always made it sound like you couldn't discuss it the next day. Like they would come and send you a fine or something. Please don't discuss that game or describe it.
Yeah.
That's not allowed.
They maybe could be a little more clear on that front.
But I think it would be broad enough to probably cover what these people are doing, for example. So that would be a crappy job to know that you could potentially be arrested while you're out there trying to gather this data. I wouldn't like that very much.
I would not really be built for that. I would much rather worry about interpreting the data.
Mm. That's the better spot to be, yeah.
After the fact.
Yeah.
Or, like I said, I just do it on TV because I still think that there would be a way to help your betting patterns out if someone was still watching a game on TV and feeding you data, because there is, again, if there's a delay in the broadcasting itself, the stats aren't always updated immediately either on a website. Like they're even further behind than that delay.
Yeah. Although
just because you have someone in there trying to punch in all the official data, and it doesn't get distributed.
Might have to be doing that to try to keep as up to date as possible, so they aren't.
Oh,
and I guess it just stems from like trying to make as much money as possible by offering all these kind of different bets, like in-game bets, and you know, stuff like that. That kind of makes them more vulnerable to this sort of thing, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess that's another thing that's just the whole betting thing just always seems so crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that much fun when you lose, so that's kind of the downside. And the other further downside is you're mostly going to lose. That's kind of how they have it set up.
Even if you're good, you're going to lose more than you win.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Well, it's kind of like being a baseball hitter. You're going to hit below 500. Like you're. You could be great, considered great, but you're still striking out one or getting out two out of every three at-bats.
Yeah, and that's good for baseball. But
right.
For money, that's not as good because then you're
Well, hey, if you can win one out of every three, as long as you don't,
I guess it depends on what
place too wrong of a bet.
Yeah, it depends on what your return on investment is, I guess. If you can make more than three times the amount that you would lose, then yeah, you're doing pretty good. So that's our free investment advice this week.
Yeah, it'll be kind of interesting, just because a lot of these states are just. Because they even said in this article that Pennsylvania is still putting together their laws on how the data can be collected, yes, and who has access to it when. So, I mean, it's certainly something, at least in this country, that it's going to move from the black markets offshores to the black market onshores.
The more convenient black market, just down the street.
Yeah, I'm still going to stay out of the market, even though it's on our shores and legal for the most part.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure I might be tempted to place what one might call a meta bet on just a game outcome. I'm not sure I'm ready to get into will this running back gain more than 4 yards on the next play.
Yeah. I think there is some exciting about, you know, betting on the outcome of a game, but it can really suck to lose money, though.
Yeah, I guess I don't really like that part. No. Again, knowing that the odds are against you, it's not something that really, really excites me.
And I probably hate that part more than I would like the winning part, even though the winning part would be nice. Wow, we went a little over this week, Kevin.
Yeah, that's why I got rid of the fourth topic, because this one started a little late. But we can wrap things up by mentioning that the Belltime Beer of the Week, we're down to one beer left from the wedding now, Ken, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. There is one more Black Belt IPA. Which was a clone online of a beverage from Deschutes called Hop in the Dark, which was a black IPA. And it still tastes pretty decent, considering it's going on a full 3 years old.
Yeah, I think it held up fine. I don't know. I liked it.
So, with that, at DeFrango11, at Ghoster33, brand is at StuntGranny, rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us, and have a good night.
Peace out, y'all.